Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This year's Advent series will take a look at a variety of perspectives on the incarnation of our Lord. As mentioned before, based on the words from the Nicene Creed, he was made man. What is meant by the word the incarnation is simply that the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, took on human nature and became a man. Our celebrations this time of year as Christians center on the birth of Jesus Christ into this world as a baby. The actual incarnation, however, the time when God became man, took place 9 months before, as the Son of God became a baby inside his mother's womb. Following the visits from the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She conceived within her the very Son of God, now made flesh. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Words from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Get it absolutely right. For there inside of Mary's womb, her own flesh and blood, was the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. Words from John 1, verse 14. And what this begins for us is to reveal the scandal that surrounds the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. Also to be explored in this series is the sheer mystery of the incarnation, along with its most revealing intent, its purpose. To the first part, the scandal of the incarnation, got to imagine for a moment the conversation young Mary might have had with her parents following the visit of Gabriel that one day. While devout Jews would no doubt recall the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Mary's parents most likely would not right away conclude that Mary's pregnancy fulfilled that prophecy. Natural response of the parents of an unwed and pregnant teenage daughter would be that Mary had violated the sixth commandment and had been with a man before she was officially married. The conversation Mary would then have with her betrothed, with Joseph, would have been even more excruciating for the two of them. Families in those days worked very hard to arrange marriages for their children, securing for them a future, a hope as husband and wife. Joseph would certainly know then in this situation that he was not the baby's father. Proper recourse in such a situation would be the breaking of the betrothal through the act of a divorce. How then could a pious Jew, like Joseph, bring disgrace to his own family by willingly marrying a girl who had already been unfaithful to him? And then to go from there and raise her son from another man as his own. We can certainly see how such a situation could indeed be called scandalous, troubling, offensive. A film from a few years back about this story called The Nativity Story played up this angle quite prominently. Mary and Joseph could feel the disdain of their family, their fellow Jews, as the word about this illegitimate child spread, at least as the people would have seen it. So scandal was already surrounding the arrival of God's chosen Son, His begotten, into this world. But that was of no bother to the Father. Through the census prescribed by Caesar, God sent Joseph and Mary down from Nazareth to the town of Bethlehem, to Joseph's ancestral home, as David was his great-great-great-great, and so on, grandfather. There Jesus would be born finally into this world, the rightful descendant of beloved King David. God's prophecies from the past would be fulfilled in that virgin birth, that first Christmas night. So Joseph and Mary, as the plan was revealed to them by the angel, were pleased to be a part of God's plan, despite the scandalous perception of the public. Even more offensive than the setting into which God's Son was born was the actual incarnation itself. Stop and think about it. What is happening in the incarnation? The Word is becoming flesh. The only true God is becoming something that by His very nature He is not ever meant to be. Is becoming one of His creatures. At its core, this teaching, this understanding, is by its nature scandalous. The Greek word that's often translated as scandal in the New Testament is scandalizo. It actually means usually to cause one to stumble, especially when it comes to the faith. God becoming a man is a teaching that trips up many, as has been the source of many heresies about Jesus throughout the centuries and continues in this day. It's beyond our understanding, our limited capabilities to know that the Almighty God, the uncontainable God, would contain Himself in mortal flesh. We know the finite is not capable of the infinite, as our logic and our minds tell us. And yet there He was, lying in a manger, anomaly of all anomalies, the infinite contained by the finite flesh of a human baby of all things. The strong became the weak. The incorruptible took on what could easily be defiled and ruined. Immortality became one with mortals. These truths, when you stop to ponder them, do defy sense and understanding in our lives. For who with all power would ever stoop down to heal and to save? Why would such a person ever give up their great power, their authority? What could possibly be worth it? I'm looking at it. It's you, of course. Jesus Christ, Son of God, took on mortal flesh for you, each of you. For you, He was born into scandal. His very nature as the God-man was truly offensive to human reason. His very nature was a stumbling block to His fellow Jews. As they told Him from our gospel reading, "It is not for a good work we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." They refused to believe that their sacred, their beloved, almighty God and Father would ever stoop to the level of humanity, taking on mortal flesh. Such an act would be below the sovereignty and majesty of God Almighty. Many still stumble over that truth these days as well. And because they cannot make sense of it, they refuse to believe it fully. They come up with a more plausible explanation. Like Jesus certainly had the Spirit of God, but was not fully God in the flesh. So vital was that truth, the Son of God's incarnation. And it is the central teaching of all three of what we call the ecumenical creeds, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian. While Jesus' incarnation directly confronts our limited human understanding, I've got to say even more so does the crucifixion of Jesus. Jews in Jesus' day could not believe that God would allow His chosen Messiah, His anointed one, to die on a cross. For they believed that anyone hung on a tree was cursed by God. And Greeks, Gentiles could not fathom the crucifixion of Jesus because such an act was shameful for any type of deity to suffer, let alone the true God himself. And so Paul has written, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That Jesus' crucifixion is scandalous to all of mankind makes no difference to God. For he well knows our inclination to doubt all things that we cannot rightly understand. Even Jesus, if he were to show a miracle directly to his enemies, like he was when he was hanging on the cross, if he were to come down even at that moment, they still would not believe. Scandal of the incarnation, the scandal of the cross, fall within God's usual modus operandi. It's how he works. He utilizes the foolishness of men to make known his superior wisdom. Scandal, then, is found throughout biblical history. A murderer of an Egyptian becomes the savior of the Hebrews. Shepherd king commits adultery with a woman who would later become the mother to the wisest king the world has ever seen. God would even direct one of his own prophets to marry a prostitute. Virgin would conceive within her the incarnate word. The chief enemy of the church would become her chief champion. Scandal of the incarnation then should be no scandal to us. This is God's way of operating, his way of working, his choosing for our salvation. What is truly scandalous is God's grace that would cause him to become a man. Scandalizing is his mercy that would send the Word incarnate to the cross to die for the sins of every human being. Offensive is the message that you get all that Christ has earned as he gladly took your just punishment for sin on the cross. To a fallen creation, God himself is scandalizing, along with all that he does and all that he says. And yet, all that he says, all that he does, all that he is, who Jesus is no true scandal at all, but rather the blessed means of our life, our salvation, our hope, our comfort. Thanks be to God, then, this Advent season and always, that Jesus has advented to us, that he has come to us as the Word made flesh, the Word attached to water, to bread, to wine, the Word that declares, you are forgiven. Amen. It is so. Amen. And the peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.